I trust that you'll take time to look at the fossil display at the back before the week is out. There's dinosaur bones on there, and what I have back on display there is actually the proofs of evolution. You can see how that fish were caught in the flood and smashed flat, and dinosaurs that were alive were caught and then fossilized in relationship to that. I believe that God did exactly what He said He was going to do, that He created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested, and everything that He created was very good. But sin came into the world, and by Adam and Eve, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. They were booted out of Eden because of, Eve listened to the serpent, and Adam willingly followed, and it plunged the world into sin. Ultimately, the world became so evil that God sent a worldwide global flood about 4,005 years ago. Now, evolutionists are scrambling today. They're really scrambling because it wasn't all that long ago that when they were doing a dinosaur dig, and I went on my first dinosaur dig, just come back from that just recently, found some dinosaur bones, but in some of the dinosaur bones they found soft tissue. And now evolutionists are scrambling, trying to explain how that could be, because if they're millions and billions of years old, like they said, it would be impossible for that to survive. But they'll think up some other lie. But the Bible, science, and evolution, the impact of evolution, I cannot tell you, and we'll see as we go on here, the devastating impact that the lie of evolution has caused in this world. Let's look at our biblical foundation, Acts chapter 2. So in Acts chapter 2, we get down in verse 5. We read this. It says, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." What you had here going on is you had religious Jews were gathering from all over the civilized world. They were gathered together to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. They were religious, but they were lost. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, down in verse 14. "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words." Let's scoot down to 22 through 24 there. It says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know." And then verse 23, "He being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now, if we would turn in our Bibles next to Acts chapter 17, in Acts chapter 17, 16 through 18, we read this. Paul first is speaking with the unsaved Jews in the synagogue, and he preaches Jesus and the resurrection. But when speaking to the pagan crowd on Mars Hill, he starts out. Now, this is in, I've been to Mars Hill. It's there in Athens, Greece. "And God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth. Very clearly, Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. I got to get over there myself to Acts chapter 17. There we go. And verse 16 says, "Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given unto idolatry." Any of you ever been here to Athens besides me? When you go to Athens there, to the left, as you're facing the Acropolis, where they have all the pagan temples up there, to the left is Mars Hill, where all these philosophers and people were meeting. It says, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout people in the marketplace daily, with them that met with him." And certain philosophers and Epicureans and Stoics, those are different philosophies, encountered him and said, "What will this babbler say?" It says, "He seemeth to be setting forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection." It's very, very interesting. There was all kinds of monuments to pagan gods and idols, and then there was one to the unknown God there. And what he did is he preached unto them Jesus. Today, my friends, we're living in a pagan society, and we need to get the message out to people who are lost. And the problem is that too many people for too many years have kept their mouth shut and been intimidated by science, as they say, and it causes a great deal of problems. Let's look at Acts 17, 22 through 24, as he talks to the pagan crowd. "And Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. It says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that hath made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heavens and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands.'" You see, his message to the pagan crowd is this: God made the world and all the things therein. The pagan crowd, Paul starts with creation, and then progresses to the Creator who died for them and rose again from the dead. Today, I'm telling you, and you can see it all around you, we can see it when we're knocking on doors on Thursday, we live in a more and more pagan society, and it is important that people understand that God is the Creator of heaven and earth. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 16:25. Proverbs 16 in verse 25. We get down to Proverbs 16 verse 25. It says this: "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I'll tell you what, it's been promoted for a long time. It's being pushed on every hand, and that is evolution. And it has made a horrible impact on our culture. And I'll just tell you, it is doing damage and has done so much damage while we're here. We talked about this on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. If you were here, there are only four truly important questions in life. They are: where did I come from? Why am I here? How shall I act while I'm here? And where am I going? How you answer those is going to tell you what your world and life view is. The question of origin is the central question of life. How did we get here and why are we here? I'm not going to go in depth on that, but some of you who weren't here last night when I laid the foundation, your answer determines the foundation of your decision-making progress, the way that you answer those questions. How do you view the world that you live in? Friends, basically, there are only two choices. Somebody made the world, and you view it through the lens of the Holy Bible, and that is the biblical world and life view. You view it through the lens of the Bible, as it very clearly tells you in the Scripture, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. You need to let the Bible be the lens that you evaluate everything in. And then there is, on the other hand, the naturalistic view. Nobody made the world. It made itself. It's kind of an accident. And you view it through man's theory. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And that's what has happened in our culture. How you view the world will determine how you answer the four questions. Where did I come from? Well, evolution says from hydrogen via amoeba through monkeys and now man. Biblical creationism says it's an act of creation by an intelligent living being, i.e. God. Genesis 1:27, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and we're made in the image and the likeness of God. Genesis 1:27. Why am I here? Well, the evolutionist says it's a chance accident. If you believe in evolution, it's an accident. You're here by accident. You have no particular reason. You just kind of live for today only because when you come to the end, that's it. But the Bible, by creation, because of God's love, to love and to serve Him and to serve fellow man. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? Glory of God. We're here to live to the glory of God. How shall I act while I'm here? Well, you know, that's relative. Evolution, however I see fit. If it feels good, do it. By biblical creation, as the Creator has advised me in the Word of God. Because the Bible, Paul wrote to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, my people who are here know what that means. It means that the Bible tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. That's what the Bible tells us. And so I am glad that I have direction from God's Word. Where am I going? Well, if you're an evolutionist, you're just going to dust like a dog. That's right. But in creation, it depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ. There is a heaven to gain by trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. There's a hell to shun. Somebody's going to pay for your sins. It's either going to be Jesus Christ, and you must personally call upon His name to be saved. You must personally receive Him, and He will. And if you don't, well, then heaven is the eventuality that's going to happen when you take your last breath on earth. Man determines truly by himself without revelation in the evolutionary view. If evolution is true, the results of a wrong worldview are going to cause great problems. The fact is if evolution is true, man has no hope for his future. As I've told my own people here, and as the Scripture says, we're called strangers and pilgrims. You know what? That means we're only here for a temporary time. Where is our eternal home? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, if you're a believer, that where I am, wherever Jesus is, there ye shall be also. Man has no hope in his future if you're an evolutionist, except maybe he won't have to stand before God and be judged. That's what he's thinking, but that's baloney. Psalm 14:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. It's kind of National Atheist Day. That's what I call April Fools, is National Atheist Day. The happy National Atheist, he's sawing the limb off, he's happy. He's happy here and now, but what is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. Judgment. He can believe what he wants. And then they ask these stupid questions. Have any of you ever asked these questions? Can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? Oh, give me a break. You know, first of all, they're asking the wrong question. They are trying to measure something that is infinite, and that is impossible to be able to do. When I'm talking with somebody and they bring up some absurd question like that, I just tell them, I don't know, that's a good question, but there's an even more important question. When I get to heaven, I'm going to try to remember to ask God that question. And then you try and lead them to the Bible. The Bible asks a question you can't answer. And here's the question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What is your answer? That's right. You know, if you can't answer that, you're in trouble. If you neglect the wonderful salvation that Christ Jesus has provided for you and for others freely, if they will receive it, you have no way of escape. Well, if evolution is true, now get this, one of the races of humans must be more superior than the rest. Now you say, well, where did you get that screwball thing? If you believe in evolution. Now, let me just show you this. Hitler was a big advocate of Darwinian evolution. Hitler's hit list, species. He says if you were a Nordic, blonde, blue-eyed, you're close to pure Aryan. If you're Germanic, my grandmother Snyder, brown hair, blue-eyed or less desirable brown-eyed, you're predominantly Aryan. If you're Mediterranean, you're slightly Aryan. If you're Slavic, close to half Aryan, half ape. This is Hitler now. Oriental, slight ape, despondence, black African, predominantly ape, Jewish, they're close to pure ape. That was Hitler. That's what Hitler said. Hitler was motivated by evolution, friends. I want you to understand that. Hitler said in Mein Kampf, I have it in my office on page 216, it says, no more than nature's desire, the mating of the weaker with the stronger individual, even less does she desire the blending of a higher with the lower race, mingling of Aryan blood with that of lower people. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Wrong one. Here we go. You know, Karl Marx based his philosophy of communism on evolution. There's a big push for Marx socialism today. I've written a booklet on that. I'll be doing the next two Sunday mornings on BCY. On socialism, Karl Marx socialism. Karl Marx based his philosophy of communism, Marxism, Marxist communism, on evolution, my friends. And in his Das Kapital, Karl Marx wanted to dedicate his book to Charles Darwin. And he says this, my objective in life is to, now catch this, my objective in life is to dethrone God and destroy capitalism. See where evolution has led us today. We are right here today. There are so many. You got AOC, you have Ilhan Omar, you have Nancy Pelosi, you have a bunch of the progressives there. They want to dethrone God and doing everything they can, and they want to destroy capitalism. That is a result of evolution. Mussolini, the Italian dictator, was influenced by evolutionary philosophy. He thought that the Italians were the superior race. Sal? I'll tell you what. Stalin, the dictator, went to a religious school as a child. He read Darwin's book and became an atheist. Origin of Species. Vladimir Lenin, influenced by evolution, says survival of the fittest. Only the strong shall survive. The influence of evolution is responsible for the deaths of millions of people. When communism took over China in 1949, I was born in 49, they began executing Christians at the rate of 15,000 each month. Mao Zedong murdered 60 million people. Mao listed Darwin and Huxley as his two favorite authors. The first new text introduced into all the schools was neither Marx nor Lenin, but Darwinism. Chinese communist leaders eagerly grasped the evolutionary theory as the basic foundation of their ideology. Because then that destroys God, and that's what they wanted to do. If evolution is true, and we need to get this across to our kids. I said a long time ago, you need to get your kids, if you have grandkids, help your family, get them out of the public schools. This is where it's being advocated. Critical race theory now is shot through in Wisconsin schools. If evolution is true, man is just an animal. Darwin thought natives were advanced animals. U.S. President Teddy Roosevelt was influenced by the evolutionary theory. He believed that there were inferior races like the Indians. Oh my. My fifth great grandfather was Medicine Man Black Hawk. Inferior. Well, that's what Roosevelt said. In 1871, the U.S. Congress scrapped all the treaties that they had made with my ancestors. And they moved them to the reservation, and the system is still there today. I visited just recently the Little Bighorn, and while the Indians won the day there, the big deal was Grant told them they needed to get back to the reservation. They said there's not enough food on the reservations. We want to roam free and hunt food. And so they sent George Armstrong Custer and his 7th Cavalry along with some others there, and the Indians won the day there, but that was short-lived. By the way, I'm a great deal Scottish as well. And my great-grandfather, Duncan Gates, was in the 7th Cavalry, but his horse got lame the night before. And so he stayed over to get a new horse the next day. The next day when he went to the Little Bighorn, he saw that the massacre had taken place. And so he went into the river and breathed through a reed until nightfall so that he wouldn't be killed by the Indians. See, I'm a variety of races. But anyway, you know, the Trail of Tears. My ancestors, My grandfather, Scottish grandfather Brown, lived in North Carolina. And it would be my great-grandfather Brown, lived in North Carolina, and he married a full-blooded Cherokee lady there in North Carolina. But the Trail of Tears was the forced expulsion of the Indians from the land. Have we not all one father? Malachi 2:10 says, hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? You see, I want to tell you, there is only one race. And that is the human race. There are different skin colors. Granted that, but there is only one race. And that's the human race. We all share a common ancestor. You know, I can trace my ancestry generations. So can Mark and Rebecca. So can you. You know who? Noah and his wife. And even before that, Adam and Eve. Well, Adam wasn't an ape. There's one race, the human race. Acts chapter 17, 24 and 26, God that made the world hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Darwin thought women were inferior. He did. Everybody, you know, they just take little snippets of Darwin. A married man is a poor slave, worse than a Negro. That's what he said about a married man married to a woman. Nuts. Darwin said the chief distinction in the intellectual powers of the two sexes is shown by man's attaining to higher eminence in whatever he takes up than can woman. I want to tell you something. Years ago, both Linda and I were tested, and she's about 4 points higher in IQ than I am. We're both superior in IQ, but the point of the matter is that all this stuff is baloney. And it's just crazy. Darwin, The Descent of Man, Chapter 3, and the World Book Encyclopedia says, at some future period, not very distant, as measured by centuries, it says, the civilized race of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. What kind of a jerk was he? Now let's go on. You see, I've studied history. I have a PhD in history. And every dictator tries to enforce some type of gun control on his people. Gun control to a dictator equals power to control. And Satan gave, that's from Satan, ye shall be as gods, the power to control. Lenin called for disarming the middle class. Stalin said, if the opposition refuses to disarm, we shall disarm it ourselves. Hitler required gun permits for all but Nazi officials. The German people were disarmed and were unable to oppose the Nazis. Here you have Cubans. They're protesting. They don't have food. They don't have toilet paper. They don't have the needs of life. But Castro, when he came to power, he disarmed all the people. This year will go down in history, Hitler said, For the first time, a civilized nation had full gun registration. Our streets will be safer, our police more efficient, and the world will follow our lead in the future. Adolf Hitler, April 15th, 1935, the speech to the Reichstag. There's some people who don't believe he said that, but it's documented that he did. You know, former Ohio senator said, "What good does it do to ban some guns? All guns should be banned." See, this all comes from the evolutionary mindset. Men are just animals. Gun registration. Former Attorney General. How remember Lurch Reno, Janet Reno? Yeah, some of you remember Janet Reno. She said waiting periods are only a step. A registration is only a step. The prohibition of private firearms is the goal. Sarah Brady, chairman of Handgun Control, incorporates that our task of creating a totally socialistic America, can only succeed when those who resist have been totally what? Disarmed. See, you wonder where the progressive comes. That's not new. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, our Constitution says, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. My definition of gun control. Hit what you aim at. Going back to Columbine, Klebold's father was a geologist. Both Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, were followers of Nazi teaching. The shooting at Columbine High School took place on Hitler's birthday. Didn't tell you this in the paper. Klebold wore a shirt that said serial killer. They shot Isaiah Scholes because he was black. Newsweek, May 3rd, 1999, Eric's shirt read natural selection, while Dylan's read wrath. And they ask Cassie, God, one of the gunmen taunted her, "Do you really believe in God?" And she said yes, and they shot her. Blaming gun control, blaming guns for Columbine is like blaming spoons for Rosie O'Donnell's being fat. That's an old one. Communists, get this, socialists too. Communist definition of peace is the absence of resistance. That's what it is. Hitler believed the Germans were the superior race that deserved to rule the world. In 1936, the Supreme Court refused to recognize Jews living in Germany as persons in a legal sense. In 1973, the United States Supreme Court declared that the word person, as used in the 14th Amendment, does not include the unborn. 60 million of them have been slaughtered since then. Oh, Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, by the way, October 16th, 1916, she started it in order to eliminate what she thought were inferior races like Orientals, Jews, and blacks. She referred to them as human weeds. That's Planned Parenthood. All that comes as a result of evolution. That theory that has been advocated. Faye Waddleton, black former president of Planned Parenthood, the humanist of the year, as we celebrate the 100th birthday of Margaret Sanger, our outrageous and our courageous leader, we should be very proud of what we are and what our mission is. It is a grand mission. Abortion is only the tip of the iceberg. Reasons people use to justify abortion, it's not human. Yet that was proven wrong in 1874. It's not viable. It can't live outside the womb. Well, you couldn't live in the North Pole either, but anyway. It's not viable. Children may be unwanted. A child may be a financial burden. Is from rape or incest. Abortion is legal. The woman should have power over her own body. Choice? No, it's a baby. It's not a choice. There's a mother and a father and a doctor, and you got all these things. That's pro-choice. It is illegal to shoot a deer at night with a spotlight in nearly every state. Why? Because you must give the deer a sporting chance. Well, medical embryology textbook says this, there it is in the corner, fertilization is an important landmark because under ordinary circumstances, a new genetically distinct human organism is thereby formed. It's a baby. What do doctors say? 1981, United States Senate Judiciary Committee invited experts to testify on the question of when life begins. All of the following quotations are directly from the official government record of testimony. At this session, those who favored abortion were invited to bring expert witness to testify when life begins and point out if it's other than conception or implantation. However, only one witness said that no one can tell when life begins. No one can tell when life begins. Here's one doctor. It says, by all criterion of modern molecular biology, life is present from the moment of what? Conception. The other doctor says, and these aren't Christians, they're doctors, it is scientifically correct to say that an individual human life begins at conception. You can see all these things. The fetal heart begins to form 18 days after conception. There's a measurable heartbeat 21 to 24 days. Fetal brain begins the 23rd day. Brain waves produced at 6 weeks. The Declaration of Independence of the United States guarantees certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Even the California Penal Code says murder is unlawful, the unlawful killing of a human being or a fetus with malice or aforethought. Wow. Now, I had a number more of those. There's actually 220, and I'm at 94, but I'll continue on. But my point is this, as we wrap things up and go for a break downstairs. You see, all of this is when God got kicked out and the evolutionary theory began to be the one that people followed, that people, that people began to believe. And what a great tragedy it is, because it's brought about the murders of millions of people. And now, even in our day, in my lifetime, since 1973, Roe versus Wade, 60 million babies. Do you realize how many 60 million babies? They could be paying taxes. They could be buying things. They could be paying Social Security. Of what they could add to our culture. And so I'm telling you that the theory of evolution has done irreparable harm today, and that is why we need to stand for biblical creationism.